Accession number 20384, Reel 8.
Well, during that period, these military men, they become more or less what I could say, they become more understanding with the people. And they like to come in touch with people and they like to know people. This is a later stage which things have more or less settled off already.
About which period?
Well, in up the middle of 43, they come to understand the people more.
Could you give us some specific examples of how you come to that?
Well, when you see them, sometimes they may wish you first. No? They will greet you first. Then they stop and they'll talk to you. And they become very friendly with you.
How about your officer, the one who was...
My officer all along was very nice to me. All along he was very nice to me. And all along when I worked in places which he asked me to go, all those people are very nice to me.
The Japanese?
Yes, yes.
How about the contractors and the workers? How would these Japanese treat them?
Well, they treat them nicely also. They treat them nicely.
During this period, do you remember whether there was any incident where any one of you who was working for the Japanese was ever ill-treated by the Japanese?
No.
For example, giving a slap or scolding?
No, never.
What if the contractor could not finish something on time or could not give them what they wanted? How would the Japanese treat them?
To be frank, these contractors they really fear them. Whatever instruction given to them, they will carry out. They will carry out without any hesitation.
So throughout the period that you were working for them, there were
no incidents whatever this. No incidents.
Were there any changes in terms of your work or your supervisor having to report at different places?
No. When I'm given a job in a different place, my officer will go there twice a day. So.
Any changes in the kind of work that you were doing?
No. All the same.
What about your rations?
Still they give me my rations, still they give me my petrol.
No increment or no
deductions? No, same. No.
How were your relationship with these Japanese and especially your officer? Did you mix with them after office hours?
With my officer, yes. Sometimes he invites me to go out to have a drink with him, but I'm not a drinker, but I just keep company with him to oblige him, you see.
Where was your officer staying?
He was staying at YMCA, upstairs.
After office hour, when he went out with you, did he put on his uniform?
Plain clothes, but he goes in a military car.
Did he have a flag?
No. When in plain clothes, he doesn't. He drives himself.
How often would he ask you out?
Well, once a while, I say about a fortnight or a month, once like that. But sometimes I turn him down.
Where would he normally bring you to?
Well, he likes to drink.
Where would he bring you?
Well, to this restaurant. this was stolen. And we have some grubs.
What kind of restaurants would he normally take you to?
Chinese restaurant.
Who would be the people who were there all, most of the time?
Well, normally when he invites me to go out with him, both of us only. No other friends.
What about the customers at the restaurants? Were they Japanese?
Chinese customers.
Besides inviting you out for a drink, were there any other occasions that he asked you out on? He visited your house?
So far, he visited my house once only. So far, once.
At Serangoon or?
No. At Petain Road.
On what occasion did he visit you?
Well, he just want to know where I stay. So I say, well, come along, I bring you.
What would your officer normally do if he did not go out with you? Did he have...
That I don't know. Well, he didn't go out with me, that I don't know.
Do you know whether he had a family in Singapore?
No.
How old was your officer?
He's around 30 plus. He's quite young.
How did people feel about you when they knew that you were working for the Kempe Thai?
I told them that I'm not working for the Kempe Thai. I'm working as a clerk of works. I told them, I'm working as a clerk of works.
How would they normally react?
Well, they don't feel anything.
So, how was your relationship with your friends or your neighbors?
Normal.
How long did you work there?
1942 August until 43 November.
During all this time that you were there, do you remember any pleasant or unpleasant experiences that you encounter?
Only the torture.
What about on yourself? I mean, did you experience any nasty or pleasant incidents?
On me? No. I only have got little fear. Only hoping that nothing will happen to me.
Did you mix around with other Japanese besides your officer?
No, I don't.
Oh, why did you decide to leave this job?
Because I made up my mind to be on my own as a freelance salesman.
Was that alternative more better than this?
Oh, yes.
In what sense did you think that it was more
alternative? Because of income.
Was that the only reason why you left the job?
Yes.
Was your pay when you were working with the Kempe Thai sufficient for your expenses?
Yeah, I was a bachelor at the time. I was a bachelor.
And the rations that you were getting, did you use it for yourself or did you give it to your family members?
I give it to my family members.
So it was not because it was insufficient?
No.
How did you inform your officer that you intended to resign?
I told him that I'm not going to work anymore, after coming out to do my own business. And I say, I like the job very much, but I feel that I want to do a little bit of a small business. So I hope that you can release me. Say, let me think. So after 2 weeks, he told me, say, well, Chia Sang, if you want to go, you do your business. Well, I think I won't stop you. You go.
So it was a kind of verbal.
Verbal. But I gave him 1 month's notice verbally. You see? So after 2 weeks, he let me know. Say, since you want to do your own business, okay, now you go.
So you left after you gave him verbal notice, 1 month later?
Yes. Then after I left my job, I quite occasionally go and visit him at YMCA.
Did he have to go through any other officers to release you?
No. He can just release me.
During all this time, were you the only person working under him?
Yes, I'm the only person working under him.
Did he ask you what kind of business you intended to do?
I said I'm opening a small shop. I told him that I'm opening a small shop.
Did he ask more about your business?
No, he didn't. He didn't.
So when you left, did you have to give up all your passes and your extra rations? And your
rations, he stopped my ration. But the passes, he let me have it. They say you keep your pass to protect yourself.
The traveling pass?
Yes.
What about the petrol?
All stopped.
Mr. Chia, how did you feel about leaving the job after so long?
Well, I feel a bit sorry because my officer, he treats me very well and he likes me very much. And he also appreciates my work. But only thing that I really made up my mind to come out and do something of my own. That's why I have to give up the job and of course to earn a little bit more of what I'm getting.
How did you feel about having to give up all the other benefits like extra rations?
Well, in a way, I don't feel anything about giving up the rations because since I come out and do something on my own, I could well afford to have all these things when I get better income.
Mr. Chia, when you were working at the Kempetai building, were there any signboards either at Oxley Rise or at YMCA?
No, there were no signboards. It's only spoken that YMCA and Oxley Rise.
Were there any, were they under any sections, considered as different sections of the Kempetai?
Different section of the Kempetai, but controlled by headquarters, YMCA.
So did they have any other names attached to them?
No.
You mentioned that after you left the Kempetai, you registered with the contractor's firm to get your employment pass.
That's right.
How did you manage to do that?
Because he's my very close friend.
So how did you do that?
Well, I told him that I need your help. Can you put me in as one of your employee in order to get that pass, to get my rations? So I say, hey, why not?
Could the Japanese find out?
No, they would not find out. Because I'm registered under the company.
So did you manage to get your rations using
your
pass?
Yes, the pass, yes, I do.
Did you get the rations from the Japanese or from...
From the wholesalers and retailers.
Not the company's rations?
No, not the company's rations.
You said you did some freelance business.
Yes,
after
yes.
That, how did you? What was the nature of your business?
Well, general, from the provisions to motor cars, to tires and metal, scrap metals.
Buying and selling.
Buying and selling.
Something like being a broker.
Being a broker.
How did you get started in this line?
Well, through the influence of a friend. Say, why do you go and work? But I said, come out and we team up and be a freelance salesman or become a businessman. So I made up my mind to back out.
Was your friend in the line for a long time?
Yes, he's also he's also a salesman.
Did you find out from him how you could get all the contacts before you actually came out to?
Oh yes, he guided me.
How did you get your contacts then?
Through his friends. He recommended me through his friends. Then certain things which he cannot get, his friend will come to me and I try to get it for his friend.
How did you know where to get the goods that you wanted?
Well, normally we assemble in a coffee shop. Then from there, we start to know people, what they are doing, what type of materials or goods they are dealing in. So from there, he said, I need this thing which I cannot get. Say, I need a tire which I cannot get. So I tell him, no, I try to get for you. So we keep on giving opinions and ideas what we wanted or what he wanted.
So for example, if your friend wanted a tire, where would you get it from?
Well, I try to look around for some Japanese, from my friend through a Japanese, then from the Japanese, then they will help me to get the tires.
Do you deal directly with the Japanese?
No, through a friend. And then later on, when I study the nature of the Japanese, if I know him quite well, then I deal directly with him, not otherwise.
So all these friends of yours, they were all in the same line?
All in the same line, salesman, freelance, broker, all this. We always assemble in a coffee shop or at the coffee stall.
Where was the coffee stall?
Well, around town area, then around countryside area.
So you had to move about?
Yes, daily we move about. And daily moving about and daily gathering also.
Besides this group of friends who were brokers, like yourself, were there any other contacts that you have?
Yes, big firms. Tires firm, sundry goods firm. Yes.
How did you build that rapport with them?
Well, once I'm introduced to them, I go to their shop. I just while away my time there, have a yarn, then say, do you need anything or do you require anything which you find very difficult to get? Then I try to get it for you if you want. So then at times when they think that they need something which they cannot get, they contact me. They contact me.
Do you build your own contacts besides those recommended by your own
friends?
Yes,
I have my own contacts also. I have my own contacts.
How did you get them?
Because at that time I was in the building line, you see. So sometimes I go around and I go and visit them, then they say they need some these materials, that material, so I say I try to get for them.
What were the goods that you were, that you dealt in most of the times?
In general, the provisions, tires, building materials, these are the main items.
Were these easy to get?
Well, you must know where the loophole is.
So where would you usually get your goods?
Normally from the Japanese.
Why would they allow you to take it from them?
Because they are doing business themselves privately, you see. And they are the men who are in charge of stores, you see.
So actually these things belong to the Japanese authorities.
And they themselves are hard up of money. They themselves are hard up of money.
Do they usually want cash in return
for their goods? Yes, COD. We just tell them where you deliver the things. And they give us the time. So we wait for them. When the goods are delivered, we pay them the money.
Who delivered them?
The Japanese themselves.
To the customers or to you?
No, delivered to the place which I tell him.
Where you would be?
Yeah, where I would be in the time. And they will give me the time.
So they would not meet the customers?
No, they won't.
Were there any times when there were bartering instead of cash on delivery?
No, it's normally cash on delivery.
Nobody used the bartering system?
No. At that time, we don't allow that. Goods delivered, we receive the money. Payment to be made immediately.
What if people could not afford to pay cash but could exchange something? Would you still accept?
No, we won't accept. We won't accept. Because it's of no use to us. If that thing somebody else wants, we go to you. So we say, alright, so saying we wanted it.
So did you have a fixed place where you carry out all this exchange?
No, we change places. We don't have a fixed place.
No office?
No office.
Why was that the case? Wouldn't that be too inconvenient?
No, it's not inconvenient at all. Because they deliver the goods. We tell them the place. The goods will be there. At their time given.
Usually, where would you conduct such exchange? In a coffee shop as well?
Exchange of what?
Getting the goods from, for instance, the Japanese.
No, we ask them to deliver to a certain place.
What kind of place would that be?
Well, we normally ask them to bring up to somewhere else, kampong site, just like Jurong, Bukit Timah, remote places off town.
Why did you choose remote places?
Because that's the safest place where we can get these kampong people to hire their place for storage, and we pay them.
Did you alone rent the place and store your goods there?
Yes.
Why did you need to store up the goods?
Immediately when the goods come, we have to store for a day or two. Then we have to deliver to the customer.
Wasn't it risky to deal in this?
Yes, it is. If any person is being caught, will be beheaded.
Did you know of any cases of people being caught?
Yes.
Could you give us some examples?
Well, they have got this secret service going around. And they got informers also. So once they come to know at which particular place and which person is dealing illegal things, or army stores, then they come direct to the person.
So do you know of friends or other people in the same line being caught?
Yes, a few of them. Because they were not careful enough. They were not careful enough. That's why we need a storage place in a kampong. So when the goods are delivered there, you'll be left there a few days. Then we will be observing ourselves where anybody move around that area. If the information by the person whom we rented the place say there's no one coming and ask anything, no one is around, then we quickly transport the things away, the goods away.
What happened to those friends of yours who were being caught?
After that, never hear of them. Never heard of them.
Did the Japanese authorities explain their policy towards this kind of business?
Actually, when they came in already, they already give their policies.
So what were their attitudes towards this type of business that was going on?
Well, actually, they don't like such business going on. That's why when they came in, their policy that they have told the people that you must move in a straight way, you must not do black market, you must not take stolen goods. Then if any one of you are being caught, you'll be beheaded. They did inform the public very clearly and very squarely.
As far as I can remember, how many cases of people being caught?
A lot, because they are not careful enough, a lot. They managed to catch the person through information. They have got a lot of spies around.
What about those Japanese who who had contacts with all of you?
Then when the person is caught, the secret is revealed.
So what would happen to the Japanese?
Well,